I hadn't seen you in a while. Pastor Deborah here. Here on Love Is Here, a voice of light in the darkness podcast show. I wanted to come and just let you see my face again. Getting a little grayer, as you can tell. I am now 72 years old, time you see this. And I just wanted to come and give you a hello. I know you hear my voice and you're listening. And you're looking at all the powerful videos I'm making. But I just wanted to come and say, hi, how are you? I'm still out here. I just finished recording 3 videos this morning, a YouTube short, 2 teaching videos. And I'm going to be working and putting this into this next podcast, this next episode. Let me see which one it is. I'm up to episode number 17. We are working in the foundational scriptures that I have been given and used, Isaiah 61 and 62. In the last episode, we started with verse 1. This one, we're going to pick up in verse number 2. I'm a slow teacher, and I want you to learn, and I want you to think. So I just wanted to come and say hi. I'm the face behind the voice. I am the face that has the voice of light in your darkness. So we're going to pick up on this video in Isaiah 61, verse 2. This was foundational, and it should be for you. So I'll see you here in just a little bit, and we'll keep going through the podcast shows. There's a lot more to come. We're going to work through the oppressed spirit. Then we might get into something called the old man and the new man. I have a lot of teachings. Then there's a big book called Lust, which you must understand. So we got a long way to go. And I hope you come and you subscribe to the channel and you listen and you learn. And you get some freedom. So we thank you. Back there, that's you. When I look at you sometimes, really a non-gender being, but sometimes you have a gender. But I'm Pastor Deborah, Global Master Teacher, and we are here on this podcast show to help you. So I'll let you continue on with the show, with the episode, and you learn and grow. Bye. Hello, Pastor Deborah here. And welcome again to another episode of the Love Is Here podcast show entitled Love Is Here, a voice of light in the darkness. This is going to be episode number 17, and we are still working in the wonderful book I wrote that was inspired by a preaching by Dr. Miles Monroe of the Bahamas Faith Ministries, entitled The Oppressed Spirit. We have been working through some scriptures, Isaiah 61 and 62, the Father's heart, the Father's desires, and the Father's prophetic words for all of humanity. In this portion, this episode of the podcast show, here on YouTube and on YouTube Music, of Love Is Here, a voice of light in the darkness, we're going to pick up in the next verse, verse number 2 of Isaiah 61. But first, I want to read to you a couple of letters that were written to me to help you understand who you may be, who others may be, and the people I was sent to reach as a voice of light in the darkness. They are true stories of true people. I don't know if they're still living or not, but they are precious. Now I want you to hear their stories. The first one is entitled Josh, which is short for Joshua.
Josh was written to me by a precious young lady who I helped lead to the Lord when she was 14 years old, Miss Amanda. Miss Amanda was a part of the Black Forest Clan of Germany in multi-generational Satanism, and she had come to the Brownsville Revival Global Ministry that was happening in Pensacola, Florida, on Friday night, October the 9th, 1998. She had been sent in on assignment to take me out. I had been praying for an intercession, crying for and pleading for God to help people like Josh and Miss Amanda. And after we met one night on a Friday night, and she was led to the Lord in prayer, she wrote me a letter about a young man she had met when she was 12, and his name was Josh. I want you to listen to his story. It is very graphic, and if it triggers you, please stop, take a few breaths, and come back later. But this is a true story about a precious, precious young man named Josh. It was written to me when my name was Jan in 1999 by Miss Amanda, who was a young 16-year-old girl of a multi-generational family, in memory of a young man named Josh, who was also born into a life of multi-generational Satanism. The story is very graphic of the torture by Satan on his slaves, humanity. This story is about a young man who found someone and who would never surrender him. For you, Josh, I tell our story of that last night of your life so others can find the way out as you did. These are the people that I have been sent to help and still am helping. People that live in the darkness of the kingdom of darkness, ruled by a cruel taskmaster named Satan, the adversary of God. I had just been raped, Amanda wrote, and beaten by the men in black robes with black faces after a black mass, and I had to watch my best friend get stabbed to death. I resisted until I could not anymore, for I was only 12. They were so cold, and I hated them when their mouths went there. I hated them for hurting me. I wanted them to pay for hurting me. I wanted to destroy them. As they left, I grew faint and limp as their demons manifested and entered me. Then the ringleader of the eight jammed a needle into my arm, for my arms and feet were chained, and I remember falling into a hideous trance, and I saw things that scared me. I crouched against the wall like a beaten puppy, and I cried my eyes out, and blood began to flow from the wounds they put on me. Then I heard a boy screaming down the hall. I knew there would be another to join me. They rammed him into the door, opened it. They slammed him to the ground. I remember looking into his eyes. He was 18 years old and just tried to escape. His name was Josh. They began raping him, beating him, kicking on him, kicking his body. I could hear his bones crack. He just lay there in a pool of his own blood, begging me to comfort him. The men left again. I crawled over to him. Josh mumbled, "Hold me, please." And I carried him and held him in my arms. Sitting up against the corner of the wall, we just held each other for hours, and it seemed like eternity. At night, they played screechy music, and they repeated curses over us. We were not allowed to sleep. I remember Josh holding me as we cried and screamed. I remember him covering my mouth with his hands and telling me to calm down, or they will come back and kill us. They did come back, and the beatings were 1,000 times worse every hour. It was for Josh. "Renounce the Christian God or die," they said. "Renounce Jesus Christ or die." Josh chose death that night. And he told me Jesus Christ loved me also, and my baby that I was pregnant with. That he, Jesus, had the powers to defeat Satan, and Satan knew it. And that is why he gets so mad when people try to escape Satanism. He said that he found such a peace in him that Satan could never take it away from him. He wore an Irish cross around his neck. That night, they hung him with it. I have kept the cross as a reminder of Josh. Josh was a martyr. He was a multi-generational Satanist who found Jesus Christ and hid him deep inside his heart. He taught me of a man who I would later found, as who I would later find as my Savior. This memorial story was written to remember Josh, Amanda wrote. It is the desire of the writer, Amanda, that you, the reader, know that Satan is real and does unspeakable things to the human spirit through the flesh of man, and that it still continues today. Multi-generational Satanists are born into families that have served in spiritual bondage for thousands and thousands and thousands of generations. These precious children of the night are abused for their entire life, and it begins in the womb. Miss Amanda, the writer, did find this man named Jesus as Savior, as Joss did. I was privileged, Jan, who is now Pastor Deborah, to introduce this writer, Amanda, of this story to Jesus himself on October the 9th, 1998, when she was just 14 years old. Amanda, the writer, desires that if you are a Christian, please pray for those in Satanism, for they do not freely choose this life, but survive the best they can until someone comes and tells them about a man named Jesus who loves them. I, Miss Amanda, was directed by the Lord Jesus himself to write this story of Josh. The Lord Jesus Christ desires that you, the hearer, will love these precious children of the night as he does. And that was Josh's story. I never met Josh. I'll meet him later when we get to heaven. He's already there, resting in peace. The next story is so powerful and yet so wonderful. It's called Deep Calleth Unto Deep. This was a letter that was written by a 17-year-old teenager who was born into Satanism, November 2000. He wrote this through a lady named Candy, who brought it to me at the Brownsville Revival one Friday night. He normally would come through her spiritually and would talk to me through her physical body. I know it sounds strange, but that was normal for them in this life. So listen to Matthew's story and his letter to me. Matthew here, I wanted to talk to you, and this is the only way I have for now. He wrote this through Candy because he could not come physically himself. I know your friend, that's Miss Candy, has told me to hang on, that there is hope for me, but I really don't feel there is for me. I am glad she made it, 'cause not many do. I will be returning home tonight and plan to do away with myself, because it's either me do it painlessly or my parents will do it with a lot of pain involved. I heard you say you cry for us. Please don't cry over me. I wouldn't want you to. This was my destiny, my end. Your friend has tried to talk to me till she just could not talk anymore. When my mind is made, it is made. Let me tell you what I look like. I have brown eyes, dark skin, black hair, long. My nationality is Apache and French. What a combination, huh? We live in the swamps of Louisiana, and I have a lot of gators around the home. I even have one for a pet. Weird, huh? Try to envision a spirit named Matthew coming into a lady and writing this letter to me. That was how he did it. My gator's name is Al. Very original, don't you think? I am depressed today. Can you tell? I wish I could believe your friend is right about hope for me, but I don't see it happening in my lifetime. You are a special lady. I think your world is as bad as mine as far as backstabbing goes. Your friend says it's not that bad, and it's not bad, and it's not backstabbing like in my world. Maybe I just don't understand your world. I like to hear you talk and laugh, because I don't hear that in a good way here. I mostly hear a lot of screaming and crying and begging, but no laughter. No kind words. I like to write, and I have a lot of songs wrote, and no one to get them published for me. I will make a way for you and your friend to get my songs, and maybe you can get them published for me, even though I will be gone. I really don't know what will happen when I return home. I watched a baby lose its life over Halloween, and it made me very sick. It is a wonder to me how I have survived this long. I don't want to be here in this, and if I could be sure I'd be safe and make it out there, I might consider this more seriously. But how is it that God can love people like me so much, knowing what we have done? How can he be so forgiving to us? Doesn't he want to punish us or be mad at us? Is he really real? How can you get me to freedom? How can you make me safe? How is it that people are still in, yet they are saving others who are still in? That's what Amanda was doing. This can't be. Because in here, people are very cutthroat and would turn you in for this witnessing to others in cult. You can't trust anyone in here. I really don't understand that even when you told your friend, she can't explain it to me because she doesn't understand it any more than I do. Well, I have to go. I can't be gone for long periods of time. Will you answer my questions? I'll try to come back next Friday night. I'll be listening for your reply to my questions. Matthew. Matthew was unable to return the following Friday night, for he died by stabbing and hanging in his house in the early afternoon. He had called a friend to come and pick him up, for he was leaving home and the world he knew and was escaping to freedom. He was coming to find me in Pensacola, Florida, for help and safety. I cried to the Lord and asked him, did we lose him? He said no. He had him with him, for he believed in his heart in Jesus and was coming to find him here in Pensacola, Florida. I never received Matthew's songs, so the Lord directed me to publish his letter to me for others like you to hear the silent cries of a precious spirit named Matthew, who was born into Satanism and was my brethren, who was made by God but was taken captive and into the kingdom of darkness of Satanism, even in the womb. I pray that this young man's short life will touch your heart as he has touched the Lord's and mine. Matthew is safe and free now in the arms of Jesus, and we will be together for eternity. Satan lost him. Love has him. That was a letter written to me long ago to help me understand what a voice of agape love in the darkness could do. It could save people, and they could live on in eternity, even after a horrible life in the natural. The Lord had me to write something for him. And these were some foundational things that I took with me as a voice of light into the Matthew's world, into Josh's world, into Amanda's world, into Isaac's world, into multi-generational Satan's, into the world of the occult and witches, to astral projection, out into the world, into nations, and still do. Listen. Heart to Heart, inspired by the Holy Spirit, 2003. The long cold winter is over. The wind of my spirit is blowing. The golden rain comes from the river of life. The warmth of the sun covers the land with hope. And a dry and desolate land of a heart has become an Eden of my love. The soil of the heart is rich in mercy and compassion. Nutrients of love and forgiveness fill the wilderness. Seeds of faith, love, joy, righteousness are planted. Living seeds planted deep in the soil of a heart. Living drops of golden rain falling to bring life. Warmth and radiant rays of glory of a holy presence fill the heart. Josh and Matthew found that out. The garden of the heart is so full of riches and glory. The garden of the heart is ready to bloom in all of its glory. The gardener ready to weed and prune the weeds out. The heart, a spiritual place of beauty, unseen. The heart, a spiritual place of glory, unrevealed. The heart, a spiritual place touched by hands of love. The heart, a spiritual place of faith. From His heart to your heart, showers and rays of love abound. The colors of riches and glory ready to burst forth. Life to bring life. Love pouring out upon a heart in Eden. The precious spiritual place of the pleasure and delight of the love of God. The place where a heart touches a heart with love. Both Josh and Matthew and Amanda, so many others, have found that He is still there. And He is still found by those who seek Him and His kingdom of heaven. For He is always shining out His great and powerful agape love to all humanity. He is always reaching His heart out to all. He and His kingdom are at hand. They are close, never far away. They are near unto you, even now, even today. Reach out and take His hand of agape love. Please spiritually hurry home to us, sweetie. For we have spiritually left the spiritual lights on for you to find us. Our spiritual light will show you the spiritual way home. We spiritually have a wonderful spiritual purpose for you, for your spiritual life, for you to spiritually discover. Many others are spiritually depending on you to spiritually help them to find the spiritual way home to the kingdom of heaven, to their new family, to their agape love, and the kingdom of heaven and its Garden of Eden on earth. Please spiritually tell them that they are spiritually loved so very much and are spiritually wanted and welcomed in our spiritual house, our family, and want them spiritually home. From your spiritual heavenly Father and Mother, God the Most High, the Almighty God, Agape Love Himself. These were some inspirational stories, words, poems, instructions that I have carried with me since I began this ministry, way back when I was young. Now you can carry on. Just last night, I got new boys that will carry on, that their hearts are pure and filled with agape love. They will be working behind the scenes and helping me to go into the darkness, carrying the voice and the light of agape love. Now we're going to pick up with Isaiah 61, verse number 2. When we finish Isaiah 61 and 62, we will get back to the teaching of the oppressed spirit. But you can already see from the two stories that I read to you, two letters, what an oppressed spirit looks like. And I had to learn what the heart of the Father was, what His purposes were. Why was He coming? Why was He sending me? Where was I going? What was I supposed to say to those like Matthew, Amanda, Isaac, Victor, Seamus, Hans, Gavin? What was I to say to them when I went deep into the darkness, into the spiritual kingdom of Satan? Isaiah 61 and 62 were the Father's hearts for them, for all of humanity, His desires and prophetic words. And I had to study them, and here we go. Verse number 2. To spiritually proclaim, announce, decree, and preach that when I go into the darkness as a voice of light, that was the spiritually acceptable year, the age, the time of the Lord, and the spiritual day, the time, the age of spiritual vengeance of our spiritual God, to spiritually comfort all that spiritually mourn. Let's go on to one more verse, verse number 3. To spiritually appoint unto them the Matthews, the Amandas, the Joshes, the Isaacs, the Victors, the Seamuses, the Gavins, the Hanses, the spiritual children, humanity, in a dirt body, that spiritually mourn in spiritual Zion, to spiritually give unto them spiritual beauty. That means honor and glory for their spiritual ashes, their dishonor, their defilement, their lack of glory. To give them the spiritual joy of agape love in me, the Heavenly Father, and the spiritual life that I bring to them instead of spiritual death. For they have been in spiritual mourning for their spiritual losses of their beauty, of their glory, and their life in me. For their spiritual kingship, their rulership in the kingdom of heaven, in their spiritual hearts, they have been mourning and filled with fear of death and sadness at the spiritual loss of the Holy Spirit that they know nothing about, and of my spiritual light and truth. For they spiritually now live in spiritual darkness, ignorance, and in the fear of death, and spiritual separation from me, agape love, the great I Am, the King of heaven, and my spiritual land called the Kingdom of Heaven. They now live and have spiritual garments, covering, clothes, righteousness of death. They have no spiritual praise. They wear garments of heaviness and bondage and grief over their spiritual losses, their spiritual sadness, their lack of hope, the lack of spiritual light and truth. Why is this so, I would ask? So that they, the spirit man in a dirt body, why would I give them new clothes, new glory, new name? So that they, the spirit man in a dirt body, might spiritually be called now, named, becoming their spiritual nature, spiritual trees of my spiritual righteousness, my salvation, my spiritual work of agape love. They will become the spiritual planting of the Lord, the Heavenly Father, so that He, agape love Himself, God the Most High, might spiritually be in spirit and in truth, spiritually glorified on earth in humanity as He is in heaven. I had to understand deeply the Word of God. I had to be able to take it with me, teach it, speak it. It had to shine out from me. I had to know the Father's heart. I had to understand his prophetic words here in Isaiah 61. And we've only gotten through verse 1 through 3 so far. Now I'm beginning to hear about the condition and why the Word of God in Christ Jesus had to come to earth. What was its plans? What was its assignment? What was it to do? Josh found it. Matthew found it. And they took it with them right into death. And God was glorified on earth in the hearts of humanity. And it continues today. So on the next podcast, we'll pick up in verse number 4 of Isaiah 61. We'll continue to hear the very words of God himself through the prophet Isaiah, of his heart's desires, his goals, his prophetic words for all of humanity. As we learn about him and what he desires for us, we learn about our spiritual condition that needs him so deeply and what he desires to happen to us. You continue to listen to Love Is Here's podcast show here on the Hidden Kingdoms channel and on YouTube Music. And you will learn more about yourself and others and how the world needs him. Humanity needs him. There are so many people in the kingdom of darkness. They need to find him. And those that are already in the kingdom, they have turned their backs. They serve another. They've become traitors and treasonous to the King of Agape Love. So you keep following us here on this podcast show. Love Is Here, a voice of light in the darkness with me, Pastor Deborah. And I'll see you on the next episode of this podcast. Love to you, to all you Joshua, all you Joshas out there, and Matthews, Amandas, Hans, Gavin, Isaac, Victor, Seamus, JL, Robin, Raven, all of you that are hidden away, we're coming. The next generation will not escape us. We are now coming. The boys are coming with me. They're new now. Children are already being trained up. Little ones from around the world to reach out to children. You're going to hear many stories as we go through about rescues, about powerful events that are almost unbelievable. But you be encouraged. The voice of Agape Love is coming. And it is not far from you. I'll see you next podcast. Love, Pastor Deborah.